Welcome to Uncurated Podcast, a show for visual artists and designers to share their experiences and learn from each other. I am your host, Kelly. On this podcast, you can expect interviews from extremely talented visual artists, designers, as well as engaging conversations about art and the creative industry, especially in Africa. Hi, and welcome to Uncurated Podcast. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Well, my name is Jeremy Mwambu. I have been a visual artist for as long as I can remember. That's one thing that stands out about me, and I guess I'm an avid sports person, and I am really interested in a lot of reading. And probably a lot of psychology as well. So I guess that's in brief what I can say.
Okay. So you're an illustrator. You do animation as well, yes?
Yes, for sure. I do animation. Yeah, I don't know how to define myself exactly as an artist because my skills span a wide array, so to speak. Because I design, I illustrate, I animate, I write. I don't know how you can quantify that, all that, but yeah, I don't try put myself in a box, so to speak. So my skills just naturally just spread in other areas. So I don't really like, let's say, draw alone or put it in one box, you know, like for example, I just do comic art or something of the sort. I think my skills span a diverse spectrum. So I just like, for example, I call myself an obsessive drawer because I think that's one thing I really love doing. So if that's how you can define an artist, then I guess that would be it.
Okay, so you're calling yourself an obsessive drawer because you're always sketching, you're always drawing.
Yeah.
Okay. So among all those skills, which one is the one that you do predominantly in a professional setting?
I'd say animation the most. Mm-hmm. Although, yes, animation the most. Okay, recently, animation the most because I actually graduated with a BSc in biological sciences. Funny enough, that's a story. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's how everything started from then on. When I was in university, sorry for that, I used to design shirts. Mm-hmm. I designed shirts to, you know, start off a little hustle. And even when I finished, I still designed. Yeah, I did a few album art covers. I did design some sports shirts. So I guess predominantly, I don't know if you can say that's how it spans up professionally, but I think professionally, I'd say mostly animation art currently. That's what I'd say.
I was going to ask you next, like, how did your love for drawing and illustrating start? And have you had any form of like institutional training? Like, did you go to school to learn how to draw, or was it something that just like developed in you from childhood? And like, what are some of like the inspiration, like what inspires your work and your sketches and your references and stuff like that?
Okay, so to start off with, I think my earliest memories of starting to draw was, I think the spark started when I was very young. Let me just say that when Channel Law was on KTN, if I was to put a spectrum on it, I used to watch a lot of cartoons. I think those days for KBC, when KBC had those cartoons that used to come, those days for Transformers, Nini, and all those kind of things. Yeah, that's when the spark for just looking for kind of that such stuff. When I was a kid too, I think I could, when I was just walking, that's when a spark for just always being in that type of setting used to come and enjoy it. So fast forward to around when I was 8, now the habit for drawing started, you know, When I was in class, I used to draw. That time I was really into Pokemon. So I used to get Pokemon cards, Pokemon, Digimon. They used to have these coloring books. I think that TBC, that's where my spark started, as far as I can remember. I can remember in class going to to my textbook and drawing. That's when it started, by the way. Every time I was in class, it didn't matter what class I was in, I was always drawing on the back of my exercise books or textbooks, or even trying to create, like, the way people used to have name, class, and everything on the textbook, on the exercise book. I used to do mine in graffiti. Yeah, so I think that instead of drawing, like, I used to do my, and then I used to put some funny characters on it, like, for example, on the box where it has that Karatasi brand or something like that, I used to put like funny characters that pop out of the box, something like that. So that's how it, and now it became a habit. So art class was something that I always felt that was like, the Dr. Strange enters his, sanctum or anything like that. That's how I felt when I was going to art class every time. It's the one class that I think felt like home amongst all the other classes. That's where it felt free, and I felt like I wanted to stay all the time. So I think that's how the routine started, and from there I just grew. Of course, I did art study from 4, did even KCSE. Then from then on, I think, it's like, it's like in a kuvuta too. Like, I mean, my motivation just came from really looking at a lot of art around me, because I was an avid animation person. What a fan! I can tell you the craziest memory I had was watching, at the time period, I think I used to watch cartoons from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh my days. Oh my
Yes.
goodness.
It didn't matter if the episodes were repeated on that day, but I used to watch all, I used to watch like almost everything. I think there's even this time where my cousin was living with us, and he was in Form 2 that time. I think he was crazy about watching like soccer. So the soccer highlights used to come in the morning. And that time I was on holiday, cartoons used to come in the morning, and I didn't want to watch the soccer. I wanted to watch cartoons. It didn't matter whether the episodes are repeated throughout that week. So I think those are one of my influences of trying to get my art, and also going to comic books and seeing art from older guys, like who are in high secondary. So I remember I used to borrow books, like, to see their style and everything. But most of my influences in terms of whatever I draw came from animations. I've watched almost everything. I don't know if there's anything, maybe there are a few outlying animations I haven't watched, but that's most of my style came from there. And then now the obsession of drawing was all over. I couldn't just sit and just not draw. You get? So back to the question, in terms of the inspiration, mostly it just came naturally. It's not like something struck me and I said I have to study this perspective, this topic in art, or this, nothing. It just came like, I can just be sitting somewhere and I feel like, okay, yeah, that's a nice car, let me draw it. Oh, I've seen that person walking this, let me try and draw it. So it just came naturally, and my passion for it just grew. Even when I was in university, I always used to draw. Even when I went for attachment to the museum, I actually did some work for the museum, hoping they'd call me back, but that ship flew. But at least I did some work for them. So I guess in terms of what influences my art, I'd say it's mostly animation. And also, of course, I went through a period of graffiti. That's how I grew up. I have this, I had this phase where graffiti was my thing, and doing those characters on with letters was a thing, and it was inspiring. So I think urban street stuff inspires me a lot. So stuff like, b-ball vests and the, and shorts with the cool sneakers, that urban kind of wear, something that also inspires me a lot. Because one thing about me is I don't like suits. Yeah, so I don't like wearing suits. So most you'll ever see me is use of smart casuals for events, but others now. Nah. But anyway, I hope that answers that. And my inspiration mostly came from just naturally and then animations around me mostly. Yeah.
So are you also into fashion and streetwear, even in your dressing?
Yeah, I think I'm really conscious of what the of my wearing in terms of colors, and also the type of wearing I have, because there's this thing about where it is, there's the blend between sports and urban.
Yeah.
In terms of getting that design proper, and I guess most of my clothes and everything is mostly casual. I don't like this thing where it's too formal, you know. Mara suti, mara, you have to put the button where? No. I think I'm more loose, like probably, especially stuff like the sleeveless shirts in the summer. Let me not say summer, because yeah, nijua na mvua, so. I guess mostly it's just sleeveless bucket hats, you know.
Yeah,
I think one thing I also like in terms of if you want to get more intricate with the fashion, I think if you've seen a lot of these Polynesian tribals, even African tribals, if that would be something that would be more away from the street, but more close to the street, of course.
Yeah, okay. So judging from the work that's on your Instagram, I'm going to assume that your 2D animations are framed by frame, yeah?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, okay. So walk us through how long it would take you to complete a project, like from the very beginning, like the client has given you the brief, we've discussed like terms of payment, blah, blah, blah. So you're starting the project. So from the time you start until the time you finish, like how long approximately would it take you?
Well, it depends, you know. Because animation, there are very many parts there. How animation exists is very diverse. It's not just, I think, mostly on the, unless maybe there's an entertainment side, and then there's more, I guess, commercial side, now sense. So it really depends on what the client gives me. Because, for example, if it's, let's say, for example, there can be a different approach towards, let's say, for example, if a musician came to me and said, hey, I want a music video done for me. Or, for example, someone who came to me, like, let's say, for example, for visual aids or instruction vids for or an architecture who wants an advertisement, you know. Or like instructional videos, like, let's say, how this workout is done or how how they want to show how this medicine works in the body, stuff like that. So I think the spectrum of the work in animation is wide, but mostly, of course, it's more popularized animation-wise. However, there are many factors that contribute towards the length of the project, you know? It could be, especially the longer ones, I'd say, are mostly the ones that require a script written. I think those are the ones that require the most time, because there are many dimensions towards what you have to do. You know, you have to get the script right, you have to get your storyboards right, you have to get your character design right before the actual animation takes place, and then there's the voice acting. But for example, if something self-explanatory, like, you know, doing instructional videos, like, you know, how the, if you want to do a certain stretch, you know, like these ones you see on websites, you know, like let's say if they show how 10 ways to better your back by stretching, you know, and you know, they have the whole lettering, then they have an animation, they are done, you get.
That one
only takes as long as, you know, as long as your ability to get the job done, whether it's drawing or you're doing 3D, whatever it could be, that one can depend just on how your day is, you know. But the ones that require script written, it'd be longer. But those ones that are self-explanatory, it's just quicker. I think I'd say that. I think that's the best way I can explain it without having to diverge too much into the details.
Okay, I tend to ask that question because people who don't understand the animation process or the design process can be like very, okay, out of touch. They would assume like, oh, it's just sketching here and there. So you can take like 3 days. So I ask that question because I want people to really understand that it takes a lot of work. It can take like a month, 2 months, even 6 months, depending on the size of the project. And it's not just something ati mtu anamka asubuhi anachora alafu by the end of the day ana deliver like the way like you work in a 9-to-5. So that's why.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess the whole animation process, of course, starts and first and foremost with the story. I mean, that's the backbone of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't produce an animation without a story. I mean, it's like, you know, trying to make toast without Blue Band or something, you know.
people make toast without Blue Band.
Okay, well, I guess it's like driving a car without fuel. Let me put that. Oh, that's a better analogy for people to understand. But yes, that's the way it is. I mean, you have to have a really strong story before you get the details of everything, because if you don't have a strong story, everything else just falls, you know.
Yeah.
So the animation process, of course, requires story. And storytelling, of course, has its structure, its basic structure of a story. And how to tell a story. Your character is also very important to get that story right. And also now knowing the theme of your story, you know, getting all those elements tied in properly, you know, is important before. Now, let's say, for example, after that, we jump into now where we have our character designs. This is where we want to know how our character looks, you know.
Yeah.
This can range from how, if you want your character to look like the way Gado draws, or you want to make it look like the way Disney draws, or Disney makes their characters like Mickey Mouse, or do you want it to look like Dexter, do you want it to look like The Simpsons? So that is now key. And what advises that is the story, you know. For example, my story can be about let's say a Boda Boda guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to make I want to draw him, I have to draw him in the best way that portrays what his life is like, you know.
Mm.
I can't draw about the guy wearing a suit, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't reflect the type of person life they're living, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll be out of context in the story, you know. Or for a better example, I can't draw a scientist. Yeah, who works in a lab, if that's my story, wearing gold chains and, you know, sagging pants in a lab. I mean, out of context. So that's the whole point, when we get to be able to design our character, we have to make sure which features we want to express. It's the arms, we make them look bigger. If he's skinny, you make him look longer. So once we've designed the character design, then now we move into our storyboards. So storyboards is where exactly we get to get our storytelling visually. Basically, we want to see how our film will look in a sense, or rather our scenes. So if you have, for example, a scene where this the person is walking into a restaurant, you know, or it's a walking to a restaurant and finally getting some bad news, you know, want to be able to tell that visually, you know. How do you want to communicate it? Do you want it to be, because you have the establishing shot where it shows like, it kind of gives a sense to the audience what's happening, you know, or what kind of environment is there. Yeah. So if I was walking into Java, I'd have the shot maybe as the person is entering right to the entrance, you know, from behind, you know, I'd see them from behind. And then maybe afterwards, once they've entered, I get more closer, because now this is where we're getting closer to the news. You want to see the emotional reactions of the person and how you're going to get that angle. Will it be close up to the face, or will it be wide? So those are the kind of decisions when we're doing when we're in our storyboard, how we want to get that scene right.
Yeah.
Then from storyboard, we move to our animatic. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Basically, our animatic is what helps, is basically the storyboard in motion within the frames of animation. So this is where now we get to being able to preview our scenes and see how the movie turns out, so to speak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess this is now if we this is where now we catch things that look off in the film, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes well, then we say, okay, fine, it's a good pass. Or you find that the director feels like there's something wrong with a certain place where we're not adding enough feeling to the story, then we'll have to change the storyboard. But if it's a pass, then we go. Then we go straight to now the animation. Now, the animation is where now we get to make sure our scenes are acted out well. Okay. So this is where animators, especially character animators, now give life to our characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if in certain scenes we want to capture the essence of what the person is feeling, you know, that's the way we are able to get the character animators to be able to now give life. So by giving life, you know, we want to make sure that the emotions are seen and felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
So by this, I mean, like, for example, now in Tom and Jerry, when they want to make a certain scene more, you know, impactful, they would probably, you know, the way Tom would run quickly and get knocked senseless, you know, they bring out that life in it by maybe exaggerating the smack and make it 10 times more powerful, you know.
Yeah.
Or if there's a scene where someone is crying or is scared to tell someone news, you have to be able to capture how someone would look like when you tell someone bad news, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some people who they're open to just, you know, throw you into the grill, you know. And you have to be able to convey that in that scene, you know. So that's what the character animations are there for. So after that process is done, of course, the voicing also has to be done, which is done earlier when the script is being made. Sorry, I didn't mention that.
Mm-hmm.
So the animators time with the audio in order to be able to get the lip sync in well after the voice actors have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Then finally, after all that has been done, we go to post-production, which is now adding effects, music, sound, and all that stuff. So if all processes go well, then it's a good hit. Now that's mostly about 2D animation. In 3D, I think it's a bit different. But of course, there are so many types of animations that are there. So I did not get into too many details of them. But in 3D, it's a very different process. Yes.
You do 3D as well?
No, I actually wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think, you know, being able to get all the equipment to do that is what's actually getting memory on my tech is what's the thing.
Okay.
Because of the thing usually eats up a lot. But I think, of course, you know, we're going to stretch our skills, you know.
Yes, of course.
To the max. Yeah.
Tell us about a project you did that you loved and enjoyed doing.
There's one I did recently. I think I was at a workshop, at an animation workshop, and there's this project we're supposed to do a 30-second PSA. Mine was on mental health. And the crazy thing about this project, was that I had to complete it in 3 weeks. From scratch, from script, Nini, and everything, I had to complete it in 3 weeks.
That job where you were told to finish in 3 weeks, how long, like normally, would you have taken to do that exact process? Like if it was a normal situation, how long would it take you to do that exact project?
if it was a normal situation, I think I would have taken about, with the ease of everything, about a month or maybe 5 weeks. Because mostly because of, you know, the constraints I had, you know.
Okay.
That time I was only using my phone by the day. I wasn't using computer anything.
Your phone.
Yes, yes. I was only using my phone.
Wow, guy, that's crazy actually. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I think 5 weeks would be good, because one thing is the thing is with 2D, okay, number one is drawing all the frames,
mm-hmm.
and number two is coloring. Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that coloring, and then you have to, mind you know, you have to add dialogue
into it,
you know.
Okay.
So I was basically doing everything from script, design, voice, sound, everything until the complete end was me. All I had was my phone. So it was 3 weeks. And also one thing I was also moving about it was because this is something, I think mental health is one thing I came to learn a lot about just after graduation, or close to around that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one thing is I got to appreciate why I did it is because of how much I felt mental health was misunderstood,
mm-hmm.
and how important it is. You know, you don't really know it about until it either hits you or someone close to you.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing that was also special about it. And also going further, it's one thing I really want to use my animation, even storytelling, to tell about more. So I think that was one of the projects that I think I truly enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I think it really got me to learn a lot about directing. Yes, I think that would, yeah.
Mm, that sounds so interesting, the fact that you even did it on your phone. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So are you a freelancer, or do you work for a company or an agency? Or
so far, I'd say freelance. I'd say freelance mostly. I think I'd say freelance because I haven't been properly contracted by someone.
Mm-hmm.
I think me personally, it's just me and my work that's mostly... I just get opportunities this way. And funny enough,
mm-hmm.
This animation is not something that I was taught. Most of it is just self-taught. And that's one thing actually I've come to learn,
mm-hmm.
is that Nini is very... education is not linear.
You know?
Someone can learn how to make... how could fix a motorbike and he's never been to school.
Yeah. Yet. Yeah.
So I think mostly that one is something that I think... is very true. So I think
you being a freelancer and like the experience of you being a freelancer, I do think that a lot of people have the question of like, how do you get these jobs? Like, do people approach you? Do you market yourself? Is it like referrals? So I think that would be an interesting thing to know.
I guess, well, mostly it's just self, you know. I think animation is something that hasn't grown popular in Africa, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
Or even Kenya for that matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mostly it's just, and the good thing is, of course, it's rare. And that's the good special thing about it, is because there are more opportunities, although now marketing is easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing is somewhat easy because, I mean, so many companies want this thing done for them, you know. And, you know, you just need to get in the right place at the right time. And I think that's what works a lot in that space. But I think it's, in terms of entertainment, it just needs to be embraced a bit more. But in terms of these other sectors like advertisements, you know,
mm-hmm.
A few storytellings here and there, I think there it's more embraced in that corporate world. But in terms of entertainment, I think we need to do better. And, you know, also, Pia, we also become like these guys working at ABI also.
Mm. Yeah. So you do self-marketing online?
Yes, especially now since the pandemic came, you know, there are no options. It had to be digital all the way through. Yeah, there was no at in between at you go and meet people somewhere. And I think that's where it be, I think where animation also now triumphs is because you can be in China and someone can be in China and you're in Nairobi and you're still making the work go through, you know. Don't necessarily have to have been in the studio, but yes, I think that's what opened my eyes a lot in terms of marketing is how to diversify and how to adapt, especially when there's no contact. Yeah.
Okay. So if someone wanted to reach out to you for a commission, like to commission you for work or to talk to you about some work, how would they be able to reach you?
Of course, my DMs are always open. At Mambo Masaka on Instagram. I can find me on Facebook as well, Mambo Masaka. My email is jmasaka@jm@gmail.com and regemi@yahoo.com. I think those ones are most the easiest since people are always on their phones. And you know.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You can go ahead now and add any stories you wanted to add.
Oh yeah. So, you know, as a shout out, you know, I think Kenyans should really embrace animation as a way of telling their stories and being able to grow with it, you know. I know it's not something that's, you know, open and everything, but I think something that I wish people would embrace more. And it can reach all genres of, I mean, all ages and also, you can also fire any questions you wish, you know, where you wish us animators to also know, you know, because I don't think it's just us animators to be able to push the agenda, but also know what the market wants so that we can also try and push the agenda. You know, it's like a two-way thing. So I hope that also the Kenyans out there can also, or anyone out there for that matter, who has good intentions for Kenya. In regards to animation, to help us, you know, push the agenda. Because, of course, I mean, who wouldn't want us to see? Wouldn't want to see Kenyan animations one day, you know, on our national TVs or somewhere that's, you know, bringing up more content for us to watch, easily. We'd all love that. I mean, telling stories and everything. And yes, if anyone, would wish to discuss Kenyan history, I would love that so that it would be easier for us to create our stories and even about their cultures. Meaning you can reach out to me, I'm really open to that. And anyone out there who is really eager in telling stories and wants to storytell, I'm really eager to know what you wish and you know, open to those kind of possibilities. I think that's what mostly the shout out for. Animations to be done, storytelling, feedback. Anyone who wants to or can offer critique to my work, do so. We're really trying to push this agenda and hopefully it comes alive at the right time and people can embrace this form of not only entertainment in other ways.
Yeah, it can be educational as well. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm also very interested in learning how we were like pre-colonial times and how we lived our life and how we interacted with arts and crafts and like how just how our lives were day to day before, you know, like the white man came and taught us all these
Yeah.
new religions and all that. Like, I feel
Yeah.
like that's a part of us that a lot of people are not really aware of. Actually, most of us, even me, there's a lot I'm not aware of my own culture. And I
Yeah.
would really like to know, like, for example, there's this like stool that like elders in my tribe used to
Yeah.
use to, you know, like lay their heads when they're walking long distance and stuff like that. And
Yeah.
it had like very intricate designs at the like the top part.
Yeah.
And one day I was walking just around, it's somewhere near Lavington, and I saw they're
Yeah.
selling similar stools on the side of
Yeah.
the road, and I was like, okay, why, how, like, I
Yeah.
was really shocked. Anyway, so I think I am also very intrigued with that kind of storytelling. Yeah, so this thing, yeah. Okay, oh my God. Can you see it's like less than 1 minute? Okay, anyways.
But I think it's been fun, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you're welcome back anytime to tell us more stories.
Then there's no problem. I'll always welcome, open to the podcast to pick a story, you know.
Exactly.
And yes, one thing I also love, I love conversation. I love talking and opening about a lot of topics.
Have a nice evening.
Have a nice evening too. Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. This has been Uncurated Podcast. We will be uploading a new episode every week. So follow our Instagram page, uncurated.podcast, for updates and more fun creative content. Enjoy the rest of your week.